Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you in the house of God, and we're glad to join you. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to hear young people take part, and we're proud of them, offering their ministry to God in worship. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament, the first book, or the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua. Wonderful leader, wonderful man of God. Joshua chapter 1. You find it. We'll read the first 9 verses. Let us read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Pardon me. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the key verse of our text this morning, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so on behalf of my wife, I want to say thank you very much for the presentation. We appreciate it so much, and we appreciated the time, special time that we had with our family Friday night and a good part of yesterday. Some of you wonder what it is. I hardly thought I was 50 years old, but they tell me, according to the calendar, that it was our 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary on Friday night. So we'll accept that. I'm speaking on the book. That's this one right here. The book. Very important. From the beginning of God's relationship with man, he desired to have regular communication with us. Nothing is more important than for us to take opportunity to relate to God. One of the ways we relate to him is through prayer. And another one, and the one I'm talking about this morning, is reading, study, meditation on the book. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. By this time, Adam and Eve had sinned. They had transgressed what God told them not to do. And so they both heard God. He's coming, Adam or Eve may have said to one another. He's coming. What shall we do? And they did what at the moment to them came naturally. They ran and hid. They were going to conceal themselves from the presence of God. The communication that God had with the first pair preceded anything ever provided in written form. God would talk to Adam and talk to Eve. They'd have communication, and it appears, and I think many believe, and I think it was so, that God had that regular time of meeting with Adam and Eve. It was a wonderful time, but something happened. They transgressed. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, some people think it was an apple. I don't think so. The Bible doesn't say what it was. It just calls it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not until Moses' words were penned down, or God's word to Moses, did Moses and the other people with him, the children of Israel, have God's word in written form. And we want to place a high priority on that form this morning. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's why the word was given for us. It lists several purposes. The purpose of this message today is to remind ourselves of the importance of the Scriptures and for what purposes they've been given to us. Why do we have this book? Why is it so important to read it? Why is it so important that we not neglect the Word of God? I cannot overemphasize the importance of the book, the holy, inerrant Word of the living God. In Colossians chapter 3:16, the Apostle Paul said this, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you," how? "Richly." I've never read them, but there are some series of books that authors come off with over the last numbers of years, and as soon as they're on the market, people go wild over them. I won't mention any names in case you're reading them, and I don't want to offend anybody. But the important thing is for you and for me to really get wild over the Word of God. What does God have to say to me today? Well, I think I'll sit down and begin reading. And you say, well, how do you do it? I know everybody has their own method, and I fault nobody for whatever method you use, as long as you read. Personally, I start in the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, and I read through the Bible, complete it at the last book, Revelation. When I finish that, I start over again. When I finish the second time, I start over again. And one thing I've found, that the busier I found myself in ministry, the more responsibility I had, it seemed the more I would have to go to the book to read it. It's important. I had a conversation recently, well, just a few weeks ago, not many, with a friend. He was our former youth pastor in, one of our former youth pastors in Sherwood Park when we were pastoring there. And he spoke here in the church while he could still speak. He spoke here with difficulty, but we could understand what he said. Today, he doesn't speak. Not because he doesn't want to, but because he can't. He has Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And so I went over there recently and sat down and chatted with him. Now you say, how does he talk if he can't talk? Well, he sits there with a laptop and he asks questions, types them out, and I give my response. And you know, when we get going, it's hardly like we even miss his voice. We have a good time communicating. We've had them at the house and done the same thing. And so during the visit, he said, where are you going to preach next? I told him, and I was referring to Beaumont. And he said, and his name is Herb Krusch, and Herb has a good sense of humor, and I understand his humor, having worked with him and known him for a good number of years. And he said, what are you going to speak on? I said, the platform. And Herb understood that. And then I said, well, I'm going to talk about the book. He didn't say anything. He paused, hesitated for a few moments, and then his hands went to the keyboard, and he began to type. And he typed, and as he typed, I read what he was typing to me. And when he finished, I said, Herb, would you email that to me? He said, yes. And immediately, I gave him my email address, and he emailed it to me. When I got home, I printed it off. And one of the reasons I wanted it printed off was I wanted to share it with you. And this is what he said. You know, I haven't had any fear, doubt, anger, or negativity since I learned I have ALS. I have had perfect peace. Now, it is based on three things. First, hope in the future, heaven. Faith in God and His promises, number two. Number three, the Bible, which I got my hope and faith from. It comes from being in the book. Thank God I read and studied the book. It is true, I carried the book. Now it carries me. I was talking with someone in counseling with ALS department, and they said I would go through a period of grieving. I said, why? Everything I believe in points to my eternity. Why grieve? It is because of the book. That is what you share when you go to Russia. We take it for granted. So when turmoil strikes, we panic and worry. A lot of counseling, breakup of marriages, etc., can be avoided if we would be in the book. He said, you have a great subject. And indeed it is. It's a wonderful subject. But the greatest book that was ever written. I was in Siberia in April, and the church I was with is involved in the Teen Challenge program. And some of you, if you're not aware of that term or title, it's a ministry that was started several decades ago, and it caters to individuals who have drug addiction or alcohol addictions. They drove me out into the country over an hour's drive, some distance from Novokuznetsk. We entered the chapel of the Teen Challenge building, and I watched as people came in. Two things caught my attention. As they entered reverently, sat silently, waiting for the service to start. One thing I noticed before the service ever started is the number of Bibles present in the service. And as I stood to speak, everyone I could see had a Bible. I can't say 100%, but I've never been in a service in my life anywhere, anytime, not even the churches I pastored. That number of people never had Bibles. It seemed to me like 100% of the people present came in with their Bible. It was important to them because they were bound by alcohol. They were bound by drugs. There were individuals who, in the process of obtaining their drugs, killed people. There were murderers there. I know so because I was told. Why should this book not be ignored? Moses gave two reasons in our text. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that you may observe to do all that is according to it. Written in it. By reading and meditating, the book says, we will do. Do what? Do the will of God. Fulfill the word of God. Without reading and without meditating, we will not do it. We will not be obedient. The prophet said to King Saul, he said, obedience is more important than sacrifice. He thought, wow, all these animals, I can't kill them. They're good stock. They're livestock. I can't destroy them. That's a waste. God told him to, but he said, not. He and the people agreed, we'll keep the best. And they did. And he thought he'd impress the prophet, Samuel. Samuel was not impressed. He said, God is not as pleased with sacrifice as he is with obedience. When God tells us to do something, it's up to us to do it. We have no other choice. Then Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, same verse. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure everyone here, including the children, want to be successful in life. God said, if you will obey my word, he says, you will have good success. You will improve the quality of your life. You cannot have the best kind of life without paying attention to what's in the book. You cannot honor God and ignore the book. It's too important. The book offers comfort. Everyone here, all of us, have needed comfort at certain times in our life. In Matthew 5, verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn for what? They shall be comforted. Where does that comfort come? It comes from getting into the book. God has an answer for every one of life's problems in the book. In times of loss, bereavement, sickness, financial disaster, God promises comfort. Comfort is defined as strengthening aid. And we find it in the book. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, 42 to 44, we find Jesus in the garden. He's praying. He's crying out to God. He knows that the cross is before him, less than a few hours away. And when he's finished praying, the Bible tells us that his body sweat as it were great drops of blood. What happened? God sent strengthening aid. He sent an angel emissary from the Father to his Son in the garden, and he strengthened him. Pay attention to that. Next time you go through trial, read that part where Jesus pled with the Father. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't possible for Jesus to go another way. He was going to the cross. Nothing would keep him from it because it was the Father's will, and Christ willingly gave himself to the will of the Father. In time of severe spiritual and emotional need, the very Son of God was not ignored by the Father, and he will not ignore you. I don't have to ask for a show of hands. There are people here today who are in need of comfort. I don't know what your problem is, but God knows. And God will send to you the comfort you need. Open the book. Begin to read it. God will teach you his way. During periods of great sorrow, where do we go for comfort? We go to the book. That's one of the reasons it was given to us. Oh yes, and this book promises divine healing. Numbers of illustrations of divine healing are given in the Old and in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, then in the book of Acts. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus summarized the responsibility of the believers and the results that we can expect. One of those results is divine healing. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's one of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ before he went away. That's you and me. If a member of your family is sick, go to the book. The Apostle James is a very practical person, and he put the promise in understandable terms. He said, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what is the promise? It says, the Lord shall heal them. He'll raise them up. He'll minister to them according to their need. I'm not going to tell the story again, but some years ago when we were in Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, we were in the north of Uzbekistan, and we met Anya, Korean woman. We'd never seen in our life before. She was 72 years old. 6 years earlier, she had found the Lord because of a Ukrainian man she had fed through the prison bars. Not herself was not a Christian. She knew nothing about the man or why he was there. And many years later, after he had been released from prison, he sent her a book. It was the Bible. She read it. She was born again, totally and completely transformed. And she started to share the book with many. And if you know anything about the Middle East, Central Asia, that's a Muslim country, a strong Muslim country. And she saw over 600 people come to the Lord and then started another church in just a very few years. She never went to Bible college. She never had somebody come in from North America to tell her how to do it. She just read the book and people responded. During this period of time, after she had been born again for 4 years, she had a severe heart attack later, right out in the hospital. And these new believers in her church, they were reading, "They shall lay hands on the sick." They said, "Let's do that." And a group of them went to the hospital in a Muslim country, laid hands on Anya. She was totally healed. And there in that market, in that small city in the north of Uzbekistan, she freely told us the story of her conversion and her healing. And she was a very healthy woman. Why? Because they discovered what the promises were in the book. During times of illness, we can go to the book. God will see us through. The book offers counsel. Counseling has become a very big business. You say a business? Well, I think in some cases it is. Multitudes seek out words of advice from those who are presumed to be endowed with great understanding, great wisdom. And in many, many cases, a high percentage of cases, it's helpful. But you know, I think the most helpful place for you and me as Christian people, where we can go to, is the book. The book offers counsel. The book is full of wisdom. Psalm 112, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Is anyone wiser than God, our Creator? The book arrived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Book was written by men who are anointed of the Holy Spirit. They moved. They were borne along by the Holy Spirit. And so what's in this book? 66 books making up the Bible. What's here is exactly what God wants to be in. Go to the book for guidance. Go to the book for counsel. Go to the book for advice. Remember, as a young person, beginning to wonder if the Lord was calling me to be a pastor. And I thought, I know if I talk to my parents, they'll try to encourage me. Yeah, go ahead and do it. If I talk to parents or pastor or friends, it's yeah, sure, go ahead and do it. But I wanted to know beyond doubt. And so I started reading the book more fervently than ever. Come home at night and read chapters. I was looking for an answer. And finally, as I came to Ezekiel chapter 3 and on to chapter 33, when I read the words, "Son of man, I've made you a watchman to the house of Israel," God said, "You're responsible." Ezekiel said that. God said that to Ezekiel. "You're responsible. I'm calling you." And I felt called during the reading of the book. Praise the name of the Lord. This book offers counsel. And if we will read it, if we will study it, God will guide our lives. Young people, if you will read it, you will study it, God will guide you. He'll show you. He'll confirm to your heart what His mind and purpose for your life really is. What about times of temptation? We go to the book. Psalm 121:7, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." I like the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. "No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape And what's the next words? That you may be able to bear it. You will go through temptations. You will go through trials. Go to the book. God will lift your spirits. He will strengthen and He will sustain you. If we fall into sin and shame, it's not the fault of the book. It's not God's fault. He has given us His Word. If we will take counsel that is offered in His Word, God will guide us and keep us. In Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's the desire of the Lord. That's the longing of the Holy Spirit, that we be kept from the paths of sin and darkness and shame. We take preventive measures when it comes to the health of our bodies, such as vitamin pills, etc. All probably doing us some good. But what about the health of our souls? We need to go to the book. The psalmist said it was by use of the book. There is so much spiritual help for each and every one of us if we will get into the written word of the living God, if we will read it, study it, meditate upon it all of our life long. Just because you read the Bible once or twice doesn't mean that you should stop reading it, because every time you read it through, God, by His Holy Spirit, will cause something to come alive in the book that you never even realized was there. Well, you say, "I don't understand it." Well, when I eat a good meal, I don't understand how my body can assimilate the meal and the value of it and get its needed minerals and vitamins. I don't understand that. In fact, I don't worry about that. I just enjoy the meal. And thank God for good cooks. Same with the Word. We read it. We read it. Maybe there's a verse I don't quite understand. I go on. Maybe the next time I read the Bible through, God will awaken in my intellect, in my spirit, the meaning, and give me understanding of what He is really trying to say to me. The story is told, I heard years ago, and you probably heard the same, that a mother took the Bible of her son who was going away from home for the first time. And in the flyleaf of the Bible, she wrote these words, "This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book." The two are not compatible. The two do not agree together. And if we will stay in the book, God will help us to be held back from sin, the commission of iniquities, of evil. Finally, the book shows the way of salvation. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's impossible for any one of us to be able to go to heaven without the new birth experience. It doesn't work. John 3, 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but Jesus said that the world through Him might be saved." Salvation, preparation for eternity, comes through accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, and I can just imagine Him reaching out His arms, Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are so many people who need rest, not just physically, spiritually, emotionally. They need to be freed from that oppression that comes upon them. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day. You need to open up your heart and accept Him. How can we know the way of salvation? By going to the book. By reading the story of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It tells us everything we need to know. There's nothing more that we need to know than we find right in the book. "Come unto me." Are you heavy laden? Are you bearing burdens? Are you addicted to some kind of a problem? Alcohol, drugs, immorality? God wants to set you free. He wants to bring to you eternal life, and that eternal life comes through a Son. We're invited to repent of our sins, confess our sins, and the Bible says God is gracious and He will forgive our sins. But we need to be humble enough to admit to God what He already knows. He knows we're sinners in need of the saving grace of His Son. We need to pray, God, come into my heart and save me. I desire to be one of your sons, one of your daughters. I desire to belong to your family. And if you will do that, He'll hear your prayer. And in a moment, you'll become His child. I've sometimes said to people, you can become a child of God so quick, it's like switching on a light switch. I said, if you fell out of an airplane, you could become a child of God before you hit the ground. Simply call. God is there, ready and willing. Could we bow our heads, please? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you will follow me in that prayer right where you're seated this morning, pray it sincerely and honestly from your heart. God will hear you, and you'll become one of His children. Old things will pass away, and all things will become new. God will deliver you. He will set you free, and you'll become His child. Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of my sin. Jesus, I invite you now, this Sunday morning, to come into my heart, to deliver me from all evil, so that when my life on earth is ended, I will have a home eternal in the heavens, a beautiful home that you have prepared for me. I accept you as my Lord and the Savior of my life, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you tell somebody about it? Share that message with somebody else and ask Pastor Marlon.
Thank you, Dad, for sharing the Word of God with us this morning. As I've been thinking and praying these few weeks, actually, about God's direction for us in the fall in terms of our gathering here and where we'll go with reference to the Word of God. There's a message that God's been percolating along with, kind of in line with our mission as a church, to know God, to love people, to serve the world, and touching on those three themes. And the know God portion on September 19th was just... I'm not going to change because I believe God is speaking, and it's a reminder that He wants to give to us about His Word, and even over this summer, Maureen Small is going to be speaking next week, how there was a correlation of a couple of messages. I believe that in our church family, there's something that God wants to speak into our lives about the role of God's Word, and Psalm 1 talks about that. I shouldn't even say this because I don't know what direction you're going next week, Maureen, but that Psalm 1 that I spoke on a few weeks ago, and then this great good word this morning and in September. God, don't walk away from this. Say that was a good day in church today. Take a step. Take a step. A baby step even. Today even. When you get home, tonight, tomorrow morning. Take a step. Maybe it's been days, maybe it's been weeks since you've just opened up God's Word in the morning and said, God, speak to me today from your love letter. Take a step. Determine in this moment. I know we've prayed already, but I want you to think. Wherever you're at, some of you have been so faithful day by day in God's Word. And when I hear that, when you share that, some of you have over time. I've crossed paths with believers who are just so faithful and have a passion and love for God's Word. It's just contagious and so encouraging. A stride forward that you can take, there probably is. But for many, it's maybe that re-engagement and that recommitment. And I want you to think, and maybe even jot down with a pen and paper, specifically in this moment, God might speak to you and give you a creative idea of something that you can do to just re-engage with the Word of God and apply the Word that we've heard today in whatever area of your life. And there was a variety of arenas of our lives that were mentioned this morning. Maybe for you it's just this one area that is a consistent challenge. And all you're going to do is get online, and I can give you a website, or you can get a concordance and find verses that have to do with that area of struggle. Do that. Well, let God lead you. In a moment of quiet reflection, I want you to think about what that possibility, that next step for you might be with God's leading. Say, God, what is it? And God, I believe, will direct some of you in this moment and in the days ahead. So we're going to pause for about 45 seconds of quiet. I want you to talk to God in your heart and mind about that. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of agreement that we will follow through collectively as a body. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. As Christ followers, we thank you so much for your precious word. May you cultivate further in our hearts a love for your word, God. And I pray that each one of us would be open to your Spirit's leading and how it is you want us to engage or follow through with your word. Help us to take those steps necessary. Help us to place ourselves in an accountability relationship where someone would ask us, how was your devotions this week? How was your time in God's word this week? Whatever it is, God, help us to do it so that we can improve our time with you, so that we can improve and grow in our relationship with you through your precious word. Guide us, Lord. We know that it will make a difference, as we've heard this morning again. It'll make a difference in our lives individually. It'll make a difference in our lives as a church. And for that, we give you thanks. We want all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. And take time to connect and reconnect with one another before you head on with your day today. God bless.